So this is a quick story from my first ever wrestling travel. We did 13 hours from Winnipeg, Manitoba to a little town just outside of Thunder Bay, Ontario. And there was four of us in the car for this trip. We just finished a drive. It was super late at night. We had the show tomorrow. We were kind of hungry, but we thought we'd call it a day and start first thing fresh tomorrow morning. However, as we were crashing and about to catch some sleep, we got a knock at the door from the other two, and they wanted to go out and grab a bite to eat. The only place open happened to be this little donut shop across the street. So, somehow, through, you can call it being naive or call it just immaturity all around, the two guys somehow convinced my roommate to go in just his underwear. So we crossed the street in this strange town, go to this donut shop, and the poor worker there already is a little weary about what's going on. We're all looking at the menu trying to decide what we're going to get when my roommate, who is in his underwear, shirtless, pantsless, just underwear, no shoes, is trying to decide on what to order. And he's looking up at the menu board, and just as he's about to place that order, another fellow on our trip from behind sneaks up and drops his shorts down to his ankles. And I turn around to see where he went, being the guy who dropped the drawers, and he is in a split second ran outside and is giggling, dropping onto the ground, laughing his ass off. And so I turn to look at my roommate, who took it like a champ, is grinning from ear to ear because they got him. I'm laughing too because I've never experienced anything like that in my life. The poor worker across the counter is laughing, but in tears and in horror all at the same time. My roommate slowly, confidently pulls the drawers back up around his waist, finishes his order, and away we go. Just thought I'd kick that off with a little rib. Here's the rest of Source Code, guys. Thanks for listening. We've only got one life and one run at it. So why don't we make this count? I am the social media superstar, the glitch in the system, a pro wrestler, a vlogger, a podcaster, a husband, a father, an entrepreneur, and I am Jay Walker. I'm going to share my story with you to hopefully inspire you to do the same with your time here. We need to rewire the way some of you think. We need to reprogram your mind. You're going to realize that nothing's holding you back but you and what's inside of you. So we're going to hack the system, fix up a couple of glitches, and upgrade the way you look at your life. It's what I like to call your source code. Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to the first episode of 2020 of Source Code. In case you don't know me, I am the social media superstar. I am the glitch in the system, and I am Jay Walker. And again, if this is your first time, then you should go back. There's a whole catalog out of them. For 2019, I did 365 episodes in 365 days. And with the new year comes a new format. These are going to come at you once a month. You're going to get them early if you're helping me out on Patreon. You're going to hear more about that later. But for now, I want to dive right into it. And I want to talk about just how great of a mindset I'm in right now at the beginning of the year. I've got so many different projects going on. I am keeping insanely busy, but I enjoy the process of all of it. And before I dive into any of that, though, I do want to just say, share some stories with you about how lucky I am to even be at this position in my life. You know, so many people go by and they get stuck and just feel like there's no way out. And I mean, I've definitely felt that way in the past. Now, when I say I'm lucky to be here, I mean that I am literally lucky to be here. There have been some scenarios in my life where things almost came to an end. And I don't mean to sound dramatic, but I was thinking about things that I could absolutely be grateful for and just appreciate the fact that I have the opportunity to chase my dreams right now. And there's three very specific moments that came up very quickly in my mind that I wanted to share with you guys just to show, like, you know, as happy and hopeful as I am, you know, there is some dire scenarios that I've been placed in over time. And the first one that came to mind, what happened way back in 1997. I was friends with a kid around here, and I believe 97 would put me at 10 years old, and my friend was just a year older or two. And I mean, small town Manitoba, driving laws are a little relaxed, or they were at least at that time. I'm definitely grateful for the fact that they're a little tighter and stricter on things now. But my friend, in the middle of winter, would drive his own snowmobile, and I was invited for the first time ever to go on a trip with him. And so you're just, you know, skidooing, they call it, around the empty fields in Manitoba. You know, you're just going around and hitting drifts and hitting hills and going kind of whichever way you want. And so I was invited, and I was super excited because, you know, we spent pretty much every weekend. We were the best of friends at this time. And I wasn't allowed to go, and I was choked and upset, and this, along with a bunch of other things, decisions made for me, just made me appear uncool to friends and peers and classmates. And I just felt like this was another opportunity getting robbed of a great social experience, and a great chance to do something very different and to give me the ball and kind of go out and have my own fun and show that, you know, I can do these things without, you know, having any fear or worry behind them. And so I wasn't invited. And a few hours later, we got a phone call. And the phone call was about this friend who took the snowmobile out and happened to ask another friend to go with him. And that friend was allowed. And this friend of mine was crossing from one field to another. So we had to cross over this dirt road. And because the roads are elevated in this certain area, the truck driving on this dirt road did not see the snowmobile coming at all, and they did not see the truck coming at all. And so they collided. And there's no seatbelts on a snowmobile. You've got your helmet and you've got your winter gear, and that's about it for protection. And so the snowmobile was thrown after hitting this truck, approximately 40 feet, I'm told. And because there's no seatbelts, the bodies of my friend and his friend flew, you know, hundreds or at least 100 feet away, you know, into the ditches. And so the truck stopped and looked and immediately called for help. And they were rushed by, not by ambulance, but by helicopters. It was that bad. And it's a 2-hour drive in a vehicle, but helicopters can get to the cities a little bit quicker. And these guys needed immediate surgeries and looks at and x-rays. We went and visited, I believe, a week after, when most of the surgeries were done of my friend. And I remember specifically, 100%, like it happened yesterday. And this was many years ago already. I remember walking into that hospital, his room specifically, and both of his legs were up. He was in a body cast from his toes, running all the way up to his midsection. His arms were both up in casts as well, and his mouth was wired shut. His jaw broke, several, like dozens of broken bones all throughout his body. And I just looked at him thinking, that could have been me, and maybe I wouldn't have been lucky enough to survive that, you know? And it was really tough to see that in a scenario, you know? And to think that that could have been me, and to feel for him, you know, it's something that I couldn't even imagine going through. Actually, his battle to be better was it was a hell of a ride, and his positivity throughout is pretty amazing looking back on it now. I remember when he got home finally, you know, it was very early to go on and visit him. We would spend every weekend, so, you know, it was kind of back to the same routine. We would pull out the PlayStation. We were playing, We were playing, I think we had WCW Nitro, we had WWF Warzone, we had NBA Live 97, I believe it was, that we were playing as well. Those were the big ones I remember playing with him anyways. But he would sit there in this body cast for so many months, and, you know, it just always weighed on the back of my mind of how lucky I was, but how much he still had to go through. And when he finally got out of all the casts, he was never able to walk again properly. He's still on his 2 feet and without any assistance, luckily. It's a miracle that nothing more severe happened. I mean, he learned later that he couldn't have children. He's always walked with a limp, and that became a huge part of his identity, was this accident. And again, just super lucky it wasn't me. And I mean, I don't think that he feels like I'm attached to that moment, but at a distance, I definitely do feel that's something that weighs on me. He's got his tattooed down his leg that he limps on, actually, is the year that accident happened, because it became a huge part of his identity. And I think it's something that he is still trying to come to terms with fully, you know, as an adult now. Just absolutely amazing. And that's not even the last accident that I could have potentially been in. In 2003, it was August 6th. It was my birthday, my actual birthday. And I had just gotten my beginner's license for driving. And I'm driving this truck for my dad to go and pick up something. And my friend, who lived out of town, biked a full 2 miles to come and hang out with me that evening. And so, being inexperienced, not wearing proper footwear, I was just trying to pull up properly to the curb, and for some reason, the heavy footing and the improper footwear and stuff, I managed to jump the curb and crush my best friend, who is maybe 90 pounds, under this half-ton truck. And I remember driving right over him, and, you know, I remember taking out posts to a building. I'm lucky I survived, but the first thing that popped into my head was, oh my God, I just killed my best friend. And this is a different friend from the snowmobile. And I had the foresight right away to back up off of him and to go and check him. And my brother was there and seen the whole thing, and I asked him to go and get help right away. And I stuck with him, and I mean, his head hit the ground, and, you know, things could have been way worse. We didn't know if anything was broken. And being such a small town, I was sitting there with, like, my friend in, you know, holding on to him. And the town came to see what the fuss was about, as fire trucks and ambulance came and checked on him. And then his parents came and were so afraid. And I was afraid of what was going to happen to him and me and our relationship, and just how people were going to perceive me in that moment. Just a really rough time. And I remember somebody specifically coming, and the only person that came and checked on me in that scenario. I was shooken. I'm surprised I slept that night, to be honest with you. Luckily enough, I got a phone call the next day to get the update. And again, just absolutely insane of a miracle that he was okay. Not a single broken bone. Maybe just some, you know, beaten up, bruised muscle. He would need crutches for, I think, a week. And I mean, I think we were playing. I think I went and visited him like the next week or 2 weeks later and hung out with him, and just all the guilt in the world. And it's something he wanted to just forget right away and not let it define him or our relationship at all. We were still very close friends after that. But
That was very scary. Things could have happened worse to him. Things could have happened worse to me. You know, I could have drove right through the building at that point. I could have killed my friend. And then what would have happened to me? You know, would that be vehicle manslaughter? Would that be, you know, you never know. And I actually remember it was during the summer, obviously it was August, right? So we come back to school and me and him are just hanging out and talking at a general assembly and everyone's just eyeing us up and we're wondering what the heck's going on. And they were shocked that we were still friends after an event like that. And it's a true testament to him and how forgiving he is. And I mean, I've forgiven myself over time, but it's just insane to think that we went through that together and came out of it both still friends, still healthy and happy. And there was one more actually year after that in 2004 where we were coming back from a summer camping excursion. The whole family's in the vehicle this time and we're hauling our, I think it's our 30-foot trailer behind us, our camper, and just coming around some winding roads, and Dad was driving and hit some loose gravel on the shoulder of the road, and it actually took our truck, and there was an oncoming vehicle, but our truck with the trailer did a full 360 and then another 180, I believe. And then the velocity, the speed, because the speed limit was 100 kilometers an hour, which is, trying to do some rough math, like I think 80 miles per hour for you Americans listening. And it took right to the ditch. Like, we swung into the ditch doing that many circles going that fast. And the truck, as we hit the ditch, tilted at a 45-degree angle on its side. And I thought for sure we were going to roll. And luckily enough, it went from that 45 degrees back on all four tires. And you just heard the loudest bang. And if you look behind, once the adrenaline and shock and making sure everybody else was okay in the vehicle happened, look behind and the trailer was so strong and it swung so hard that it had landed on its side and had twisted the frame and the hitch of the truck. It was just absolutely insane that something worse didn't happen there and that we didn't roll with the trailer itself. I think if we had rolled one time, the momentum would have continued and we would have rolled into a bunch of trees and there would have been a lot more damage done. So, I mean, you look at scenarios like that and, I mean, I haven't let these things define me, but it's allowed me to be grateful that even through crazy events like that, I've maintained friendships, I've maintained my fearlessness about getting behind the wheel of a vehicle, of any sort of vehicle. And I have confidence behind the wheel. I have confidence in my life that that things are going to be okay and that I can just appreciate the fact that I'm here and that I do have the opportunity still to chase my dreams. You know, I'm not somewhat handicapped by the accidents that have happened to me, like my friend with the snowmobile, that I still have that friendship with someone who I ran over with a vehicle. And we keep in touch despite our distance and are able to catch up and chat for hours. And that I have my family, despite a close call, that we're all safe and nothing more happened from that. So again, just to be grateful for the opportunity, to be able to pursue whatever it is I want to pursue. And I think there's moments like that in everyone's lives. And, we can definitely, appreciate the fact that we're still here and that we are so much luckier than some others in life. And yeah, crazy. Hey guys, sorry to interrupt the podcast here for a second, but I just wanted to say, really, from the bottom of my heart, it means the absolute world that you would take a fraction of your time and spend it listening to me and about my journey and my messages that I like to share with you. Now, I've got so much going on. I've got the podcast, I've got the YouTube vlog going every week, every Wednesday on YouTube. But if there's a way you want to support all this crazy stuff I've got going on in my life, there's one place where you can do that, and that is patreon.com/IamJayWalker. Just like the YouTube account, just like the Twitter handle, IamJayWalker. Now, of course, what do you get if you support me? Well, you're going to get this podcast ahead of time without these annoying ads interrupting you. And of course, you can get a credit as a thank you in my vlog every single week. You get shout outs on Twitter every single week, and once a month, I mail out signed 8x10s, custom made and designed by me, so you know all the passion that I put into every single project that you see. You will also be having a physical copy of it, a token of my appreciation. So guys, keep listening. Thank you so much, and hopefully we'll see you on the Patreon, where you can get more bonus material of me, from me, personally delivered to you. Now back to Source Code. So now that I've got all that out of the way and I have your attention, I want to talk about what's going on for 2020 as it pertains to Jaywalker. You might have seen my tweet out there earlier this week about how important it is to be learning. And have I been learning. Whether it's workouts or diet advice or video editing or photography skills or more social media. You know, I'm running social media now for a business. So very exciting and very challenging times. I really have to balance my life out a lot. There's a lot of things pulling me in a whole lot of different directions, but I'm very happy and always enjoying whatever process it is that I'm in, on top of being a dad and a husband. Again, it's all about balance and just being in the moment with what is needed at the most. And it's honestly fun right now. It's very busy, but it's very fun. And on top of the dieting and the exercising, it's really been a very fulfilling month of January for me anyways. So as far as dieting and what I'm doing, in case any of you are aspiring pro wrestlers, I was at 210 pounds at the beginning of this year. And that's a good weight, but I'm not built. My body, as big as it is, isn't athletically toned as much as I would like it to be. So my goal has been to get as toned as possible, and with that means I actually have to cut fat and cut weight. So if you're at a very lighter weight, don't worry about doing this, but if you are a little heavier or you are looking to cut in the future, this is some advice maybe you guys could take. I'm eating 3 meals a day, and that is it. Chicken breast and 2 helpings of veggies is my breakfast and my supper. So I break it up. There's a meal in the middle, but 1 chicken breast and 2 helpings of vegetables. It's very high in protein, very low in fat, and there's some healthy carbs in there from the vegetables that I'm getting. I mix it up with veggies just to keep it exciting for me. The chicken, you might have seen this in Unhacked, actually. I season with taco seasoning, which I wouldn't have put the two together, but I heard it from a different guru and totally recommend it. I look forward to eating this every day because of the flavor that comes from the chicken. I oven bake the chicken, of course. And the middle meal has been 3 eggs and some whole wheat toast. So I'm not cutting carbs out completely. I'm not doing some keto diet. And I actually add some beans in there for fiber. And literally every day for the past 2.5 weeks now, this is what I've been eating. If you count the calories, and I'm a big eater. I love eating. If you follow me on Instagram, you might have seen me do, what was it? It was a 16-ounce steak with a side of rice with mushrooms and a sauce on top and a side of veggies. And I started with some stuffed mushrooms. And for dessert, I had this 3-tier ice cream cake. So, like, I can put food down. Like, that meal was probably close to 4,000 calories. I would not doubt it. But with this diet, I'm eating 1,200 calories in a day. And they're very mindful, healthy, nutritious calories. But I'm doing this because it's going to cut the fat and cut some of the weight that's been hanging on my body. And but the food still gives me the energy I need to perform at work, when I'm exercising, when I'm just living my day-to-day. And with all the stuff I've got going on, it gives me the energy and ambition to accomplish things. If sometimes you take away so many calories, your body really needs some more energy, and you can really feel it draining, and you really need boost me up with some food and some nutrients to help refuel your body. I haven't had that with this experience, so it's working for me. And also be in mind that, you know, everybody's different, so try it out, see how you react to it. But so far, I'm very happy with the results. I weighed myself today at one point, and I was at 198 pounds, so that's a 12-pound weight loss compared to where I started. So it's pretty drastic in about 2.5 weeks. A lot of it was water weight initially. But I am definitely noticing some more toning in my midsection, which is a goal. And one of the priorities for me has been my chest. I feel like my chest could be bigger. So I've been doing a lot of heavy lifting, chest exercises, really slowing down and focusing. And this is, again, it's just all stuff I've learned from listening to certain experts and gurus and fitness guys and everything, and just applying things slowly. Another thing too is, and what happens when a lot of resolutions fail is because you go too hard too soon and you get burnt out very quick because it's not an enjoyable process for you. You're really beating up your muscle and breaking it down to repair and rebuild it and make it bigger. And that's where a lot of people go wrong. So I didn't want to take that approach this year. So I started out slow with just some basic chest exercises, and then I've slowly integrated some cardio, and now I'm slowly integrating some back exercises, and I'm going to slowly work out different body parts, and I add as I go, as I feel comfortable. I'm not trying to kill myself yet. I think I'm going to be doing some challenges that I'll throw up on the YouTube channel, you know, whether it be P90X or some eating challenge or whatever it is that I'm going to be doing. But the idea is to just slowly add things so that I become comfortable with it, but at the same time motivating myself and showing myself that I can do more and lift more and challenge myself more as I go on. And so far, it's been a pretty amazing process. I'm seeing some very quick results, and I'm very, very happy with how things are going and how things are looking. So again, it's just important to go out there and look. We've got literally all the information that's ever been gathered and understood in the world at our fingertips. So it's up to you to go. And I really recommend YouTube, having somebody talk to you. If you're a reader, though, I definitely recommend Google. Go out and look for the answers that you're looking for. And they're there. And then you try them. And you try them for an extended length of time. And if they work, great. If not, you know, you scrap that and you go to somebody else and you listen to that advice instead and see how everything works out. And you just continue to do this and continue to learn and continue to challenge yourself. And you can really grow very quickly as a person and realize that you're so much more capable and you're so much more knowledgeable than you give yourself credit for. It's just a matter of pursuing that knowledge and being excited about what you're learning about too. You know, I was never a great student in school. So the fact that I'm learning every day now and really challenging myself to go out there and continue to be hungry and thirsty for all this knowledge around things that I'm passionate about goes to show that, you know, nobody's dumb. It's just sometimes we don't care about the things that are being fed to us, and other times, you know, we want to go out and pursue these different things that we do want to learn more about. So knowledge is key with all of that, really, you know, whether it be the dieting, whether it be anything else. You know, video editing has been a big thing. So I'm trying to learn different styles of video editing rather than just, you know, sticking with the routine of what I've been doing with Unhacked, you know. So I'm hopefully expanding the vlog, and hopefully you'll see that this coming week especially. I think the quality is going to be much better. I think I've got more to talk about. There's different segments breaking it up. The style, I'm trying to add more humor to it because I'm always so heavy, guys. Listen to this stuff. Listen to my beginning of the podcast. I'm always so heavy. I feel like I'm always bringing you down and trying to lift you up, and that's a side of me, absolutely. But I want to bring out more humor, and I think there's just this internally, this side of me that's afraid to tell a joke and not get the laugh in the room, you know. So it's something I'm working on, and hopefully it works. And you know, it just practice makes perfect, and learning and all of that stuff. Sorry to sound Canadian on you, but I apologize for interrupting the podcast again. I know what it's like. I listen to a lot of podcasts. It's not my favorite thing when it happens, but I have a super important message for you. I was the first non-contracted pro wrestler in Winnipeg to get a pro wrestling tees store, and it's at prowrestlingtees.com/IMJWalker. But before you fast forward, listen to this, guys. I've never been proud to design or buy or even see lazily designed or parody merch. I've single-handedly designed all three of my own shirts with the idea of being the best designed, highest quality shirts anywhere. So the fact that they were designed by me, the fact that they have a positive message in them with a backstory shows how much I care about these shirts. Again, if you'd want to check them out, it's prowrestlingtees.com/IMJWalker. There's three different selections to choose from. There's the One Life, One Run shirt, which is a motto of mine and my favorite. There's also Design by Desire, because my passion drives me to be the hardest working guy in the room and succeed. And there's also Not Your Average Glitch, which describes me so well, and I'm sure a lot of us out there. So check it out. Let me know when you do make a purchase so I can personally thank you. And when you finally get your shirt, send me a pic, and I'll give you a shout out on all my social media channels to let people know
how awesome and supportive you are as a token of my appreciation. Guys, one more time, prowrestlingtees.com/IMJWalker. But that's enough shilling for me. It's time to get back to the show.
So if you watched on Hacked this week, you would have seen the insane amount of snow and the blowing snow and the lack of visibility on the roads. Those driving conditions are very real, especially around here. There's a lot of open roads. There's no trees blocking anything. It can be pretty sketchy sometimes. And whether it's snow or rain or fog, it can be kind of dangerous, especially driving at night. And that was my biggest concern, was coming home from the PCW show all by myself in the middle of the night with a real lack of visibility, with ice and snow built up on the roads. And when snow can actually pile up on the highways, if you've never driven Canadian roads, they're called drifts. They're snow drifts. So the wind is pushing all this light snow that just freshly fell. And sometimes it just piles up on the road and it develops snow hills. And it's not very good for the vehicle to drive through those. And so I was concerned enough where I thought about it hard and decided it wasn't the brightest idea to go and do the show. And I was excited for the show. I had a great opponent lined up. For you PCW fans listening, I'll let you know in on what was actually supposed to happen. So I was going to come out and I was going to issue my open challenge, looking for the person who attacked me months ago. Someone else was going to come out and tease that he was the attacker, but not say that it was. And instead of that guy accepting the challenge, a young upstart Sammy Peppers was going to interrupt our little duel and accept the challenge and have his first ever title shot. And it was going to be babyface and babyface, which I was very excited to try with him. He was going to be over and I was going to be over, and we were going to tell this awesome story in the ring of how, like, we're really willing each other on to bring the best out of each other. And I was going to do a springboard moonsault and hurt my knee. And then he was going to go after the knee and it was going to be very dramatic. And at the end, I was going to win just barely, like, and he was going to help me up. And it was going to be very exciting. I think it would have been a great showcase for him. I really want to showcase Sammy Peppers at some point because he's a really awesome, solid guy. And we have a little bit of a cool background story on each other. We're kind of interconnected through family. So it's pretty, and friends actually in the area. So it's pretty insane. And I would love to pay it forward and give that guy a great platform to showcase his skills. Even though he's still learning, he shows some great promise and some great fire. He's just so likable and friendly looking. But he really is that behind the scenes as well. So these road conditions, yeah, it is what it is. It's crazy. It's Canada. Definitely disappointed. I think you can see it in the video at that one point where I make the Simpsons joke. It definitely disappointing. You know, wrestling's an escape for me. I get to go and BJ Walker in the ring and have an actual crowd vocally respond rather than just comments, you know. So it's a very different feeling. There's nothing like being in the ring. It's a great chance to just, you dump all this stress on you to have this perfect performance, and at the end you just develop this great bond with the wrestler you're in the ring with, because, you know, everything went great, or, you know, maybe everything didn't go great, but you still have a bond over having a solid performance together. And I was excited to evolve the storyline a little more. I was excited to tease some upcoming things. I was actually supposed to be the special referee for ATM and Adam Knight's match for the number one contendership for my title, and there was supposed to be some more storytelling there, which I was excited about. That didn't happen, so yeah, I was disappointed, but I can't beat myself up, you know. It is the way it is, and we're gonna get to those points A, B, and C, you know, in the future. And looking very forward, very much forward to February 22nd, PCW's Highway to Hell. I will be defending the Canadian Championship. I'm not going to spoil, if you weren't at the event, who won the number one contenders match, because I'm going to cover that in the next vlog on Hack. So if you're not subscribed yet, guys, I'm trying to get to 1,000 subscribers. So go check it out, youtube.com/IMJWalker. It's been a crazy journey so far with the podcast, with the vlog, with Patreon, with the Pro Wrestling Tees store, with all of it. I'm absolutely humble, and it drives me insane the fact that you guys are willing to support me as much as you have. Thanks for sticking around for the time of listening. This is the longest episode I've ever done. This is how it's going to be done in the future. If you haven't, go back and listen to all 365 previous episodes of Unhacked. They're a lot shorter than this, you know, 5 to 10 minutes, covering a variety of topics, whether it be wrestling or mindset or health or mental health or AEW, my time in Chicago when I went to All Out, interviews with wrestlers, interviews with other podcasters. There's so much out there to go out and listen to and just hear my story, hear about my pro wrestling career. But again, thank you for listening to this one. It's the one of many to go for 2020. Subscribe if you haven't, and tell people about this podcast if you haven't yet. I would love to have some Q&A coming up on the next episode. So feel free to throw some questions at me, and I'll try to get to one or two, I think. I'm also featuring questions in Unhacked every week now. So just hit me with your best shot. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I'm on YouTube. It's all the same handle, guys. You should know it by now already, at @IamJayWalker. So until next time, guys, thank you so very, very much. Take care and have a great day.